Hello, Brian of London here, going live with just a quick sort of pointed explanation. I'm listening to the No Agenda show, which is what I do every Friday. You should too. No Agenda, twice a week. Adam Curry, John C. Dvorak, best podcast in the universe. Anyway, they were discussing, they don't discuss things actually, they discuss media's reactions to things. So they were discussing the media reaction to the CES show, going on and on and on about 5G. And I was also kind of confused as to why 5G was just was being portrayed as it is by the media. Of course, you never get any proper information from the media. You always have to look beyond. And the thing that did it for me was listening to Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio, Secure Freedom Podcast. Frank Gaffney, known him a long, long time. Excellent. Puts out a very, very good podcast. I think it's daily. And he keeps it short and brief. Interviews amazing guests. He interviewed a chap the other day called Rob Spalding. And Rob Spalding's an interesting chap. Very, very high up in the defense establishment. And then he wrote a memo and got booted out of Trump's thing. Very weird what's going on. Sort of, I think, deplatformed over his 5G. And he was discussing basically the Chinese takeover of 5G, and because basically here's the technical bits you don't get from the mainstream, the technical differences of 5G. 5G, the underlying technology can use bandwidth in a brand new way, which means it doesn't need contiguous bandwidth. Some of this will go straight over your heads, sorry, Adam Curry will understand. What it means is you don't need to devote a large chunk of spectrum to 5G. You can pick a bit from this part, and then you can have the police in the middle, and then you can have another piece of spectrum, and it can be wide across the whole spectrum. And it can amalgamate different sectors of spectrum until you have enough for the system to work. The second thing it's very, very good at is dealing with massively high loads in small, dense areas, if it needs to. Okay, you need much more infrastructure than our existing systems. But you know that thing when you're at when you're at a football game or in a stadium or in a big crowd, you never get cell phone coverage or the data craps out. That's fixed by 5G to a much, much greater degree, 10x, 20x times, much, much, much higher densities. So the idea of putting a 5G direct network connection in everything, I mean every traffic light, every bit of street furniture, in these power cables above me, you could literally do that, and 5G's got the capacity to cope. Second thing is ultra low latency. This is the one that got me thinking, because it suddenly occurred to me, I fly a drone. My connection to the drone is from the remote controller that's in my hand. It's actually, I'm using a cheap $1,000 type DJI drone, and the communication technology is built on Wi-Fi. It's not exactly the same as sort of, it's the same frequencies and stuff, so it gets interfered with by all the other Wi-Fi in the area, and that keeps my range down. DJI have a better version of it called OcuSync, which can get out to sort of, some people have taken these things to 5-6 kilometers with OcuSync. But still, it's a direct point-to-point communications technology between the controller in your hand and the drone. 5G will change that. 5G has ultra low latency, like latencies of a millisecond, apparently. I find that hard to believe because my own home network, even when plugged in with Ethernet cables, doesn't manage a latency of 1 millisecond. But even if this thing is 10 milliseconds, that's easily enough for me to control a drone over the cellular system. That means, in theory, someone could launch a drone 150 miles away and I could fly it with my iPhone here. That is kind of scary, but it's transformative, and that would rely on the controller both having a direct 5G connection and the drone having a direct 5G connection. But there's no reason to believe that once these networks are rolled out and the receiving and transmitting equipment becomes cheap enough, there's no reason to believe that these applications won't exist. And that's what they're talking about with these self-driving cars and sort of semi-autonomous cars. So there is a heck of a lot going on with 5G. much more than the media is ever going to tell you. As to the health implications, I don't know. I find it hard to believe that it's significantly worse than anything we've had before. Here I am with my Bluetooth speakers locked to my head, just like the hearing aids that Adam Curry wears inside his ears. So there is definitely something about it. And a few, I think it was about 2 months ago, or again on Secure Freedom Radio, Frank Gaffney had another guest. I'll have to dig out the name if someone's interested, at me on Twitter, and I'll definitely remember to dig it out. But he was explaining the business model difference between the Chinese, in what the Chinese are trying to do, which is Huawei and the other equipment manufacturers. And that is scary, because it could well be that Chinese tech is the only market, it dominates the market, and that everyone in the world is using this Chinese stuff. I don't think that they've got our best interests at heart, and I don't think they're freedom-loving people. I think they're totalitarian communists, and I would always be nervous using a communication system built by totalitarian communist dictatorships, even if it was then bought by Verizon or Sprint or AT&T or in Israel, Pelephone and all the others. I don't like the idea that their gear is everything we can use and the only thing we can use. So I'd like to see other people do that. Anyway, that was a quick early Periscope. I'll do another Periscope later on a less techie subject. This one has been super tech. So this is Brian's tech take while walking in the forest in Tel Aviv. Catch you later.